Good morning. I am thankful to the Lord to be able to be here and to share with you about the ministry in Argentina. I'm so thrilled that the marshals are going to my country. Thank you so much for going there to preach to my people over there, to my country. Thank you so much. I am here since Wednesday, where I share my missionary work in Argentina during prayer time. And for those who were not here, my name is in your Bibles, because Tito is Titus in Spanish. So whenever you find Titus in the New Testament, you pray for me and remember me, okay? And I'm working in the serving the Lord as church planter in Argentina. As Pastor Ben said, I am living in the central part of the country and in the province of Córdoba, by the lake San Roque over there, and working in planting church, local churches in a valley 100 kilometers long. That will be 63, 64 miles long, 17, 18 towns over there with no gospel witness. And we are planting churches in that area. I am personally in charge of three congregations. My son, who is also in the full-time ministry, Pablo, is in charge of another congregation, and together we are training 11 men who are working in 8 different places around in the valley and outside the valley. So we praise the Lord for the opportunity of serving there in training people, and that was a challenge for me because I was working as a pioneer in trying to develop a local church from scratch, leading people to the Lord through evangelizing and then discipleship and training the future leaders. And when all the work was done, I would go to another place and start all over again. But somebody challenged me to multiply myself, multiply my effort in training people. So we are doing that. We are training people. We are facing different personalities, different expectations, different problems with people in the ministry, but despite that, we have the joy of serving and encouraging other people, other believers, to serve the Lord in church planting. I have a wife, Adriana. She's not here with me today. She has some visa problems to come here to America. And I'm here by myself. I'm visiting 29 churches in 2 months. And Lord willing, on Monday, this coming Monday, in 2 days, I am going to be traveling back to Argentina, arriving back home on election day here. So thank you for having me here and to pray for me. There is some literature you can take in order to remember our ministry and some supporting opportunities. You may be your participation there. And I want to open the Bible with you right now for a little challenge from the Word about the missionary work. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 17. I don't have a watch here with me. I have my cell phone, but I need to keep this thing short because Brother Nathan is going to be here. And so if you feel that I am too long, just open the gates of dungeons here and I will go down. And okay, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant, which faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What a passage. What a passage from the heart of the Apostle Paul. And many Christians who are in the ministry, including missionaries, are identified with this and other passages that reflect a personal testimony. And I don't think those believers, including me, want to compare ourselves with Apostle Paul, since our experiences are far away of being so crude and spectacular like the apostles. The Lord saved us, all of us, in different circumstances of our lives. Some of us were saved in a normal circumstance. I was saved when I was 10 years old. And others are saved during special and hard circumstances, like the Apostle Paul. Here he describes himself, his condition before salvation, by being a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. What a curriculum as an unbeliever for the Apostle Paul. But the Lord Jesus Christ saved him. Once I heard a personal testimony of one man at Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. He was saying, "I praise the Lord because I went to jail last week." Everybody was looking at him for that kind of strange testimony. But he kept saying, "All my life I went to jail because of the bad reasons. But last week I was preaching at the subway and they arrested me, so I went to jail for a good reason this time. Hallelujah." Everybody was saved in different circumstances. But the Savior, the saving power of the Lord just worked in our hearts abundantly. And all of us were living in different circumstances when the Lord called us for salvation. In 1971, when I was 10 years old, I received Christ as my personal Savior. The message of the gospel arrived to the family through the conversion of my grandmother years back. And she was the one that the Lord used to bring the message of the gospel to me, and later, one of the persons to challenge me to consider the missionary work. Later, I met Adriana, my wife, and my in-laws, and they have a decisive part in my life in that direction, in serving the Lord as missionary. We went through Bible Institute and our secular careers, and then joined Biblical Ministers Worldwide back in 1990, and since then we are in church planting ministry. And the Lord is blessing the work over there. And since then, we are seeing from first row how the Lord brings to himself people from different backgrounds, and also how he cares for the missionary work in providing these ingredients we are going to consider in this passage. The title of this passage, this message, is Divine Ingredients for Eternal Results. And this passage reflects God's intervention in the lives of people, and also tells us how he cares for the missionary work in giving the missionary these tools, these ingredients that are designed to have eternal results in people's lives. So let me go through these ingredients of the missionary work shown in this passage. First of all, I want to identify the primary ingredients in this passage. In verse 12, we are told that Paul was thanking God, thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christ Jesus. He is the creator of the missionary work. Without him, we couldn't have a message. Without him, we couldn't have a motivation. Without him, we couldn't have a model and a master of missions. Christ invented missions. How he invented missions? Becoming a missionary himself to us. Without him, we have no salvation. Without him, we have no reasons to live as Christians. Without him, we have no missions. And because of him, we have the privilege and the responsibility of being in ministry. The Apostle Paul was marveled that this Christ Jesus put his eyes in him and equipped him and used him in the ministry. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What a privilege is to serve the Lord. What a privilege is to serve the God of the Bible. And many, as here Paul sounds surprised, he sounds like he is in awe in front of the one who created, who invented missions. Many times the missionary considers this line of thoughts and marvels himself. It is marvelous to be in the ministry. It is a marvelous thing to be serving the only living God. And it is marvelous that the Lord Jesus Christ encourages us to act and share with others about his message of salvation. I cannot find words, even in my own language, Spanish, to express how surprised I am for God to include me in the missionary work. That's a miracle. Why? Because my antecedents. Although I wasn't a great sinner, during my childhood, I was proud of myself. Very selfish and very independent in my own thinking. I was a mess, even though I was 10 years old. But a preacher just came to church I was attending, and he preached the gospel. And although I knew all the facts about the gospel, about the message, everything was here, but it didn't change my life. And that was the night of my salvation, because I applied all I knew. So my life changed, and my life was transformed. And I was very happy to recognize through the years that God doesn't count our past when we are in Christ Jesus. Because of his work on the cross, we were all obtained mercy and are wholly saved. So a missionary is a person who Christ received and transformed with his power to serve him. A Christian who serves is a Christian that has his path dealt by Christ on the cross and moves forward, energized by the power and love of God to serve others. In our ministry, I do a lot of counseling. Because I am a physician, I am a medical doctor, people don't come to me for physical problems, but for spiritual problems or other kind of problems. So I am constantly witnessing to people in counseling, believers and unbelievers. And one of the main problems I see in people's lives are unconfessed sins or feelings of guiltness for sins already confessed. And they are the more common issues in a counseling session. What a blessing it is to offer biblical counseling to people who are in trouble and to offer them the person and the work of Jesus Christ and who can apply forgiveness and cleanness to the ones who approach him with a humble heart seeking his help and blessing. Jesus Christ is far more excellent than the poor traits of psychology, self-helping method, or books offered to calm the human soul. Having a relationship with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the greatest blessing of a human life. And here we have the Apostle Paul praising God for Jesus Christ. Then another ingredient in this passage is verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. The grace of Christ, our God, our Lord. And this is another great ingredient God has to obtain his work done in the missionary enterprise. Without the grace of God, we have no faith to communicate. We have no love to share. Notice that these two things, love and faith, are a little bit of explanation of what is grace all about. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith and love. That's the message of the gospel. Those two ingredients are aimed to fill the emptiness of a person's heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the grace. And we have several persons as good examples of lives transformed by the power of grace in our ministry. You know, Argentinian people are very independent people. Some of them are very religious and even superstitious. One of the main excuses for not listening to the missionary is, how can I deny the religion of my parents? How can I deny my traditions? Another excuse will be, I don't have time for God now. And if this is true, Tito, that you are telling me that God loves me, he will wait for me. I'm very busy now. I will have time for God later. So those are the kind of challenges we are facing in the ministry. But we know that by the grace of God, he can save them. And now, I want to mix these two ingredients, Christ Jesus and grace, and we have a grace at work. If we could summarize the missionary work in a sentence, that sentence will be this: Christ Jesus is the grace of God into action. Jesus Christ is the grace of God at work, working in lives to change them, working in lives to save those lives. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And this is the very truth that moves us to be there reaching these dear people for the Lord, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that's the missionary message. And that's God's grace into action. The saving power of Christ is the chief result in missions. And we are seeing this in our ministry. And it is the previous steps of another miracle in missions, the build of the local church. That's another challenge. But praise the Lord for his grace in enabling us to serve him. And all these results can be a reality of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, shedding his precious blood to cleanse, to save sinners like you and me. That grace in action is the supreme sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross to save sinners. And those that are saved by his grace become examples. Verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all long suffering for a pattern for them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Those who are saved become a pattern for those who will believe, because they multiply themselves in others. So I am explaining to churches the power of multiplication, that you can be multiplied in your faith by reaching others with the gospel and leading them to the Lord, and then teaching them how to lead others to the Lord, and you multiply yourself, and you become a pattern of how the Lord is working in this age. Think in the transmission of the gospel through the years. Think of the person who shared with you the message of the gospel. That blessed person was the missionary God sent to you. That special person was the one that God used to talk to you about Jesus Christ, about God's grace and love, and who led you to believe in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The only thing that you can do is to follow that example, follow that pattern. And if you have done this, to lead someone to Christ, to be involved somehow in the process of missions by talking to a person, praying for him or for her, giving for missions, keep doing so. You are an example others can follow. Now, let me finish with these thoughts. What are the dangers of not using these ingredients or what human devices can replace these heavenly ingredients. The Lord Jesus Christ can be replaced by an organization, by a denomination, or by a person who attracts all the attention. The Lord Jesus Christ can be replaced by an elaborated program or a great number of activities which became the chief core of this, or the center of the missionary work. The grace of God can be replaced by human compassion that only supplies the material needs or the emotional needs, instead of the far more deep need, like the spiritual need that only God can satisfy. The grace of God can be replaced with only philanthropic emphasis, trying to amend urgent, vital, and legitimate needs. The faith and love can be replaced by education and culture based on human resources like logic, intellect, tradition, history, customs. All of these replacements can lead to human enthronization and exaltation of the ego, or a worldly approach to the missionary work. Please pray that missionaries never let aside the divine ingredients like the Lord Jesus Christ, His grace, and His salvation power. And finally, the missionary ultimate goal is for people to adore, to praise the one who is above all, God Almighty, the God of the Bible, who share with us His creatures, His love, His mercy, His patience, His saving power, and Himself. And here we see, now in verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the same adoration that we can see in the book of Revelations. And this is the thing, the goal that God is having as He powers the missionary enterprise. If you are a saved person, glorify God with your voice and life. Praise Him for all He has done in your behalf. Consider Him as the first missionary who came to save sinners. And He keeps saving. He keeps showing love. He keeps generating faith in people's hearts with His word. And He keeps motivating hearts to adore Him, to praise Him for all He has done in our behalf. The missionary work keeps going because His grace is still saving and because He is still building His church. May the Lord bless us with His grace and keeps us involved in the missionary enterprise. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning. Buenos dias in Espanol. Before I share briefly what God has called Alice and I to do, may I pray for Brother Tito and his ministry in Argentina. Father, we thank You so much for calling Tito and his family to minister to His people in Argentina. Father, we thank You for building Your kingdom around the churches that he has started and that he is seeing Your work accomplished. I pray, Father, You would strengthen him, strengthen his family as they continue to work and to work hard and to be Your servants, reaching people for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that You would just bring many people to salvation, that they might understand and know and experience Your grace. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, my name is Dathan Marshall. I am also found in the Bible. No, that's not a good thing. If you know, Dathan was the earth opened up and swallowed up Dathan. And so it's not like Titus where you can read it and experience a good reading. So you can remember to pray for me as you come across Dathan in the book of Numbers. My wife Allison is in the back, if she could stand up for a second. We are expecting our first baby in January. So praise the Lord for that. We're super excited for this new life, this addition to our family. This is God's working, obviously. We're super thrilled and excited. We cannot wait to get to Argentina. We're hoping to get there in March or April of next year. We're currently at 88% of our support. Praise the Lord for it. He's brought in every single dollar for it. And he is truly Jehovah Jireh, is he not? The Lord will provide, and he's promised to do that. He is doing that currently. So would you pray with us as we look to go to Argentina in March or April, that all our funds would be met, but more importantly, that people's hearts would be ready and prepared for our ministry, what we're looking to do. As we, I want to show a little bit, brief pictures of what we're doing in Argentina. I'm actually going to switch to a shorter slide quick, not just because of time. I actually want to share more from God's Word. So bear with me as I switch over to this different one real fast. But if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. See if I can find this. Takes a little bit to download. There we go. You can watch it load. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to read this passage briefly. Then we'll look at the pictures, and then I'll come back to this at the end. Starting in verse 10, Paul writes, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life," he's writing to Timothy, "purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and in Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Deep breath. That's a wonderful passage, is it not? Filled with all types of truth. But as we share with you our missions presentation, I want you to see it from a lens of what this means to you and me as servants of God. Why do we share these presentations? Why do we get up here and show you pictures, make you laugh at some of the cultural differences between here and Argentina? Why do we do this? We do this so that you would have a partake in that ministry through your prayers, through your giving, through your hearts as missionaries here where God has put you. God has given us a privilege and responsibility to go to Argentina to follow His will for our lives and follow His call in our hearts, to serve Him where He's leading us. It would be wrong for us to reject that. But God has put you in where you are today, here in Salem, Ohio, or wherever you live. He's put you there. And you are a missionary for Jesus Christ, are you not? And as Brother Tito shared, we're yet to go to his homeland. And we're excited about that. We're excited to reach his people. And it's funny that we're talking about people that are coming from Argentina and Brazil and other South American countries to the United States. Why does it happen that way? Why don't we just stay where we are and reach the people that we're supposed to reach? It's only God that can do that. It's only God that works in our hearts to move us from one place to the other. So I'm going to briefly share with you, Romans 15:20 says this, "And so I have made it my aim, I have made it my goal," or I could say this, "I have staked my life upon this one thing." This is Paul speaking. "That if I'm known for anything else, this is what I'm connected with. That I will preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." We are going to cities, suburb cities of Buenos Aires that are unreached. People that have never heard the gospel. Where churches don't, there are no churches. Here you go, you have the privilege of going 10, 20 miles and you can find a decent church, local church. In Argentina, unfortunately, that is not the case. We've got to go hours. These people have to sacrifice to go hours to find a church service where they're fed with the word of truth, God's word. So our goal and our desire is to do church planting in Argentina. Now, where exactly? If you see the arrow behind me, the yellow arrow, that's where we're looking to go. It's a suburb city of Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires is home to over 13 million people, the greater Buenos Aires region. That's a third of the population of Argentina. It's a big city. All right, and a lot of those people do not have the opportunity to go to churches. Our desire is to see churches planted, and that's we know how church planting works. Evangelize, discipleship, as Brother Tito mentioned in his presentation. Evangelize, discipleship, and even leadership training. Multiply ourselves and others and nationals. You see the picture on the left. You see the nice rolling hills, the green landscape, beautiful mountains. Well, unfortunately, that's not where we're going, okay? We're not going where it's as pretty. Well, we're going to where the places on the right, or I guess, yeah, you're right. That's where we're looking to go. It's very flat. It reminds me of my times in Iowa. I studied at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa. Bunch of flat cornfields and flat lands. That's where we're going back to, okay? I grew up in Pennsylvania where it's the nice rolling hills. So God gave me a little bit of time there, but now he's going to give me time with the flatlands. This is some of the culture. This, if you were to go on a trip to Argentina, this is what you'd experience, okay? Some of the cultural differences. I can't forget to mention soccer, okay? People live and breathe soccer. I just found out from Brother Tito that when babies are born, the first thing they do that they learn before they walk is to kick a soccer ball. I did not know that. What a privilege. I wish I had that privilege. I couldn't even walk until I was almost 1.5, okay? So it was a wonderful cultural difference about the United States and America, Argentina, the differences of soccer. We kind of value, American football. They value football or soccer. This is a typical Argentine meal on the top right. They love their steak, okay? Steak down there is much cheaper than it is here. This plate here you get maybe at like a Applebee's or a Longhorn Steakhouse or something really nice. It's about $20 for a plate. Down there, this probably would go about $6 for U.S. dollars. Okay? Cheaper. Okay? So if you come down, we will feed you. Okay? And Brother Tito will do the same. Get asado, get the grill out, and here we go. Put the meat on there. Okay? Typical meal, though, would be meat, some vegetables, some bread. You see there's a bowl of chimichurri sauce. It's a green sauce. Wonderful sauce. You will never forget it once you try it. But also you had potatoes. And then another thing I mentioned is mate. Now, back at our table, we have mate cups. These are little basins and has a metal straw in it. Now, mate is a very different type of drink, okay? Mate would be like, they drink it like we would drink coffee. Everybody drinks it all the time, all day. Now, mate is an herbal tea, so you take the tea leaf, which is called mate, they crush it up, and they put hot water in there, and you drink it. Nothing wrong with it, it just doesn't taste that good, okay? For the foreigner, it did not taste good to me, okay? But what would happen is I would drink it till the water's gone, and I'd pass it to Pastor Ben. He would drink it, fill it back with water, he'd pass it to the next person. We're all sharing the same drink. You think that's a bit different? That's part of a cultural practice of Argentina. It's part of the cultural practice of South America. And that's one way to connect with people. They drink the mate and they offer it to you, just drink it, okay? It's not going to harm you. It's not going to kill you. It may not taste the best. It's not what you're used to, but that's part of a cultural practice. And the last picture you see in the bottom is a picture of gauchos. It'd be what we call American cowboys, that type of style. And they're very revered in South America, especially in Argentina. But you'd see them mostly in the rural cities. Once in a while in the main cities, you see them passing through. What we are exactly doing specifically, our desire, our goal, if I could make a mission statement, would be to glorify God, which is why we're here, glorify God by establishing and planting reproducing churches. We talk about multiplication, Brother Tito mentioned. Multiplying a church upon another church. I believe this church is a sister church or a granddaughter church or is planting other churches in actually right now. That is multiplication. That's the process of multiplying and seeing God multiply himself in others. Our goal and our desire is to do that by evangelism, discipleship, and other outreach ministries. Specifically, when we get to Argentina, Lord willing, in March or April of next year, our goal is to lead a team of 6 to 7 people. One of those would be a national pastor. His name is Omar Bustos. He desires to be the pastor of this church plant that we've looked to establish. That's awesome. I'm excited about that. Because a lot of times we get to the point where we establish a church, and we need to find some leadership. And it takes time, and we can't invest in somebody that's being trained. And it takes a long time to switch that over to a national hands. This is started from the very beginning with a national by my side as we walk through this church plant. Very exciting. On top of that, our goal is to establish Bible-believing, gospel-proclaiming churches in these suburbs of Buenos Aires, primarily in 2 cities of Chacabuco and Bragado, 2 cities that we're looking and targeting to reach. You see there on the bottom, or you see on the left, the picture of the church. This is the church in Chivicoy. That's where we will begin our ministry. We'll live with Tom and Debbie Givens, missionaries that are currently living there. They started that church plant. And so what's really exciting is to work underneath them as an umbrella church to see other churches established. This picture here on the right is a camp. This is a byproduct ministry of the church. That's what camp's for. I believe this church has involvement with a camp. What the camp does is reaches people in a different level, a different setting, different situation. And these people get experiences. They make life decisions. But they need training. Where are they going to get the training? In the church, the local church. And our desire is to plant these local churches around the camp and to be able to see those fruit and the growth happening. You see here, this is the church. This is currently what the inside looks. Very beautiful. God has truly provided for this church that has been there for 15 years. Some specific prayer requests. I know I'm rushing through this pretty quick, and you're probably like, oh, what information am I going to pick up? But we're going to be back at the table. Please come and ask us questions. We'd love to meet you. Specifically, we ask that you pray for our financial support. I mentioned it's up to 88% right now. We praise the Lord for that, but we do have 12% more to go. Pray with us as we continue to travel, visit other churches, as other churches who have promised are still waiting to bring it in. Also, on top of that, pray for travel safety. Also for good health. With Allison's pregnancy, she's now, I guess, only less than a couple months away from actually giving birth to the baby. So pray with her for her health, for our health as we travel. And on top of that, our ministry preparations. A lot of the difficulty we've experienced with missionaries going to Argentina has been the paperwork process. A lot of times the government will change what regulations you need or don't need to bring. And it's been a long process for the missionaries that have gone before us. And our prayer that it would go smoother. We don't know that it will, and God will take care of us if it doesn't. But we know that we can do our best now, and hopefully on the U.S. side of things, things will get through pretty quickly and smoothly. So also on top of that, if you have any notes, you're taking notes, you could follow us on Facebook, Marshals to Argentina, and our blog that's on our prayer card, marshalsmissions.blogspot.com. That's quick. That's a very quick presentation of what God has called us to do in Argentina. But calling our attention to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and starting in verse 10, Paul picks up after he mentions in the first 9 verses, he's talking about apostasy, okay? He's talking about a problem that is very prevalent in his time. And he's warning Timothy, saying, listen, you're going to face the same thing when you get into ministry. And I find it interesting that both Brother Tito and I pick Timothy as the book because we are the Timothys. Someone has gone before us as the Paul and have trained us to where we are today. Has he not? And it's only by God's grace that we are called to further that ministry. So as we read verse 10, I want you to understand that but word there, but thou hast fully known, in contrast to this apostasy, that overwhelming false teaching that was going on in the church. On contrast to that, you, Timothy, because of my teaching, Paul's saying, look at me, look, imitate me. You have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me when I was at, and he lists the cities that he was at. Now that's powerful. That's a powerful testimony to say to somebody, there's a big problem here, and we could go through those 9 verses and read the issues. There's a huge problem, and that would just make Timothy cringe, like, what am I getting myself into with ministry? What am I getting myself into by devoting everything I have in my life to follow Jesus Christ? Paul doesn't stop, though, at the negative. He moves directly to the positive. He says, listen, you've seen God work in me. You've seen how faithful and steadfast I have been in my ministry. You do the same. That's what he gives encouragement to Timothy. Go down to verse 14. It says this, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and thou hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's from Paul. And Paul learned them from Christ. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. We get that from 2 Timothy 1:5, from his mother and grandmother, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now this is the part I want to focus in the last couple minutes that we have with you. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, God breathed. It is penned from His hand. Not literally, because we know men wrote this, but it's breathed through these men to write on pages. And is profitable for this. This is what the 5 things that it's profitable for. First thing we saw, that it's through salvation. It gives us knowledge of salvation, verse 15. Second thing is profitable for doctrine. That word is for teaching. All right, this is the same word that you kind of get the idea of making disciples. How does discipleship work? We must take the word and train people. You know, discipleship doesn't stop at evangelism. We could stop there, and that's wonderful. We praise the Lord that God has changed people's lives and He has saved people. But it doesn't stop at evangelism. We must continue. A lot of times in our world today, we stop short of discipleship. I've been in countless churches in our deputation ministry where discipleship is not happening. We see evangelism. People are coming. They're getting saved. They're making professions of faith. But then what? What are we doing? Are we teaching? There are golden nuggets in here of truth. First of all, do we know them? And second of all, are we open our mouths to train others with the truth? So the second thing is that it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching. Third one, for reproof. How often we need that, don't we? What does James call this? He calls God's word. It's a mirror. When we look at it, we see ourselves. We see the issues that we have. Now, I spent a little time in front of the mirror this morning, but I try to keep it short, okay? Because the more I look, the worse I look, okay? But that's the point here. When you look at God's word, the more you look, the more you see that you have a problem. That we have a great sin problem, sin issue. So it's for reproof, for correction. But it doesn't leave us hanging to dry, okay? This is for correction. It's saying, hey, this is where you're wrong. We're going to help you, okay? We're going to give you some encouragement. On top of that, it says for instruction in righteousness. This is the tool, okay? This is how you are going to make it out of this problem. This is how you're going to make it through your sin and your sin nature. This is what Paul is encouraging Timothy with. That the man of God, that Timothy, that you, that I, Dathan Marshall, might be perfect, thoroughly and furnished unto all good works. Now, as a brief application as we close today and finish this quick presentation, are you in God's Word? Are you soaking yourselves in God's Word? You know, in today's world, and especially our government, God's Word is thrown out the window. Values, truths, principles of God's Word are almost non-existent. You see it in public schools. You see it in our homes today, unfortunately. The only thing that's going to get us through, and what was going to get him through the apostasy, through the sufferings and afflictions of Timothy and Paul's time, the only thing that was going to get them through that was looking at God's Word. And I challenge you, and I'm challenging myself when I say this. We must be a people that are in God's Word daily. And I literally mean daily. When all else seems to be busy around us, chaos, okay, we make a 12-hour drive to go from point A to point B. I don't care if it's 12 hours or 20 hours. We must make time to study and look at God's Word. There's plenty of reasons, but I just gave you five. Because it's profitable for what? For teaching. We need to learn. It's profitable for reproof. What did we do wrong today? We need to be rebuked about it. It's profitable for correction. Correct me. Turn me so I can make a 180 to where I need to go. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Is God's Word a priority in your life and in my life? Is it? Is it what you breathe? Is it what you think about? Is it what you memorize? We've been given wonderful minds. And as children, we grew up memorizing verses, but do we still do that now? God's Word is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And that's what we're going to build our lives on. He gave two examples. One is that follow my example, is Paul talking, and the other one is follow God's Word. Two simple things. Now, there's more other ways that we can endure and persevere in our lives and become steadfast and remain as the believers that God has called us to be. But those two simple things I want to share with you today. Would you follow those examples of godly leaders before you? This church has wonderful leadership. I've had the privilege of meeting a few of them as pastors. Pastor Bill Hickson invited us to this conference. I thank him for that. Wonderful leadership that you have before you and in your midst. Are you watching them? Are you echoing and imitating their lives? But on top of that, are you in and soaking yourselves in as sponges in God's Word? That will change you and that will make you persevere in this life. And as much as life will change, the government might crumble, our world might crumble, but something else will last. It has lasted for over 70 centuries. If you do the math, it's 7,000 years or more. It has lasted that long. It's going to last more. So thank you all for having us here today. Please come back to our table and ask us if you have any questions. Please grab a prayer card. We'd love to talk with you. But more than that, we'd love to share with you the great news and the truth of God's word. So thank you very much.